And they met in places, as farmhouses, as you'll find out. They met in all different places, places like in Nebraska. They met in all different places, and it touched my home group. They come home. And it brought Narcotics Anonymous to Allentown, Pennsylvania. AA couldn't start us. They tried that. Our history in Allentown is AA tried to start us in 1970 to find a place so that we could talk about drugs. They tried it again in 72 so we'd have a place to talk about drugs. They tried it in 75, 76, 77, 78. In 79, Narcotics Anonymous came to Allentown. And not because of Alcoholics Anonymous, but because of a man that was in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, that gave an addict when he left a little white book. He brought that little white book to Allentown, Pennsylvania. And it wasn't Alcoholics Anonymous who started us this time. It's because it was an addict who later became my sponsor, who later relapsed. But it took that dare to bring that message to me. Was this your little white book called Tip Pocket Recovery. And it took whatever it took to write this, and this, I believe, should be included in the basic text error. This is part of the basic text. We can't include from 77 to a certain point where it was written. This is included. And how it was written, what they went through, the experiences they went through, the solutions. So we know and how things are done. The same thing with what the literature people went through when they were writing this book. Their experiences. What happened? How it happened? How they got people involved? What were the obstacles? How did we remove them obstacles? Because that's the stuff we need to know today. And if anybody tries to stifle the truth, or if anybody points fingers at somebody else and attacks, I would say there's a problem. And I'd want to find that person that they're pointing fingers at and find out why. I won't want to judge them. For we judged too many times before. And these people taught me how not to hurt each other. And that's what this is about for me. Thank you for allowing me to share.
I've often kind of thought that I was real fortunate in recovery in the respect that kind of the path that I ended up following led me to a lot of different people that were real involved with the writing of the text. And I mean, so I can't share exactly in like the same type of joy and jubilation of having been a part of the actual process. That's most certainly one of the things that to say maybe around 100 times I've pondered since I've been clean now. You know, that, damn, if you would have just gotten clean a little bit longer, you could have done that. You know, but, I mean, it's like, you know, I heard a long time ago, NA don't leave you empty-handed, and there's still plenty of opportunities for me to be involved today in many different things. But what I can share with you is my first experience with seeing a book. It wasn't that big a deal to me. Because, you see, the reason I bought a book wasn't because I wanted to read the thing. It was because I wanted to fit in. And everybody that I knew in the meetings had a book. You know, and, of course, the disease in the worst way wanted me to feel like I fit in. So I figured, what the hell, you know, the $8, $9 is a lot cheaper than the dope I was spending. So I'd invest. And, you know, maybe the other thing that before I realized that the book was like through the help of a sponsor that I got a little bit later on down the road, that there were actually words in this thing that were meant to be read, it became much more valuable in the sense that what it became for me was a telephone book. that third edition basic text is, and I have lots of different versions today. I don't have them all, but I have quite a few. And that one is like my book. The reason it's so important to me is because it's like, it has the wear and tear on that one. That's all my wear and tear. That's one that's been at all the meetings. That's one that the NA logo you can't hardly read anymore on the front of it. It's the one with the binding torn. And it's the one with phone numbers filling every blank page of the basic text. And what makes it so special to me, looking at it today, is, you know, one thing I've learned through that whole process is, like, we're very transient people in recovery, even clean, you know. Almost none of the numbers are the same anymore. Everybody's moved around. One of maybe the most significant things for me in there is every now and then, as I go looking for somebody's number, kind of like flip through the pages of phone numbers, there's two of them that I have to always stop at, and I kind of have to look at it. And it's not my sponsor's phone number. It's not real good friends. The reason they're not real good friends is because they're addicts that chose to go out and get loaded that are dead now. And they're people that NA introduced me to that became a part of my life. But that's the reality of the disease. And it's real good for me. You know, it kind of like kicks me in the ass every time. It makes me stop, take a look at it, and go, yep, disease is real. It ain't bullshit. It's there. You know, could have been you. And I can get a little bit grateful. Hell, I was asking Ed, I mean, I read the newsletters and stuff like that, and I think, what was it, about 6 months ago, we just went over our millionth basic text sold, half a year ago, somewhere around there. I mean, the only thought I can think of after that is, like, you know, a few years down the road, look out McDonald's. Thanks.
I'm Kevin and I'm an addict. I wish I could say also that I was one of those people that could share these long stories about how it happened, and I'm grateful for those people because if it weren't for that basic text that the person who answered my phone call gave me, and I opened it up and I saw there was a whole bunch of writing in it, and I didn't understand it because he had scratched all the woman's phone numbers. And there was a whole bunch of lines and highlights, like I heard somebody say earlier, in there, and I didn't understand it. And he says it's just because those are things that stood out to me. And maybe you'll read it and you'll find something that stands out for you, and you can do the same thing. So I did that. And also, when I first got clean, I think it was about 2 days after I had gotten clean, this book came into my life, and he told me to get phone numbers before I left meetings. Or he wouldn't give me a ride home, and I believed him. So I too used it for a telephone directory. And I remember I lived with the people that I used with for the first week of my recovery, and it was a real uncomfortable situation. I found myself walking around the dope table and saying that I could handle it once again. And I found myself locked in my room with a telephone in one hand and the basic text next to me. And it was really ironic because I looked at a list of people and there was only one person that I felt comfortable with talking to outside the guy that gave me the book, but I figured I used him enough that I needed to call somebody else. And I called this gentleman by the name of Sam. And Sam asked me, one of my favorite chapters in that basic text is, what can I do? Because what can I do had some things in there. He told me to read it. He first told me to pat myself on the back that I did what I needed to do, and then read this book, and then call him back, and I told him I felt a lot better, you know. But there's a lot of things I can do, and a lot of things comes through the people that have come before me and have made it possible for me. And I'm not going to knock. I'm here to learn about what it took to make this thing happen, and I really appreciate all the turnout and all the people that's sharing their experience with the Little White Book, because even though that was the only thing that I carried around with me to work, I used to run center lines in the middle of highways, and I used to talk to him, to God, and tell him to kill me, you know, take my life from me. I was one of those people that wanted to wish the heart attack type of deal that the Insanity of the Second Step talks about. And I found myself running center lines down roads, and as my party chief and the chainman would walk down running center lines, I'd have this thing out reading the fucking story. Excuse my language, I apologize. And that's what got me through. That's what got me through, rubbing key tags and reading the text and reading this little book here. And I too carried it. It was a nasty little thing. I still got it with all my other nasty key tags in a little box, you know. But I sat here since everybody, I mean, three people here, and I was like, yeah, I'll go now. And I waited and waited. Somebody get up, I waited and waited, and then people get going and going. It's like, I can't top that. Somebody mentioned the fact that I don't have to be like that. All I have to do is identify what goes on in the basic text, and I appreciate all the hard work and everybody that puts something into it to make it happen for me. Thanks.
I'm Ted. I'm an addict. Hi, family. Grateful to be clean tonight. For a long time, when I would, you know, tell my story, I remember the first time I ever told my story. It was at my home group, and when I got to the point where the person that shared the recovery of Narcotics Anonymous to me, the message is, you know, as I know it today, I couldn't get past that point. That knot would get right here, you know, and it was. You know, I'd say, you know, and he gave me the white book, and, you know, I'd have to just stand there and wait until, you know, God forbid that I cry, you know, wait till it went away. And, but, you know, I can remember that as clear as it was yesterday. You know, I went to my first NA meeting, and I knew when I walked in that room that I was where I was supposed to be, and the guy gave me, they didn't have any of the white books at the meeting, but he carried me upstairs to his office and gave me a white book. You know, I told him that I didn't know how to, that I tried to quit using, I didn't know how. And he gave me a little white book. And I carried it home, and, you know, I started reading it. And, you know, I could identify in that book, you know. And I read it, you know, and I read it, and I read it. And my ex-husband was in treatment, and every time I go see him, I get every piece of NA literature he had. And read it, take it home and read it. You know, it was like I couldn't, you know, I was like a sponge. It was like I couldn't get enough. You know, it was, you know, I didn't know that there was any recovery. You know, I thought addicts died or whatever, you know, or kept on using. And it was like, you know, the guy that gave me the little white book, he said, there is a way out. You don't have to die today, you know. And, you know, I'm real grateful for the people that was here before me that allowed their higher power to work through them and bring Narcotics Anonymous to where it was when I got here. You know, that first little white book, my first NA basic text, you know, I didn't know if it was approved, unapproved, or, you know, it didn't matter to me. You know, I was just grateful that, you know, I didn't even know that there never was a book, you know. I was just grateful that, you know, there was something that I could identify with and that I knew that I could stay clean if I did what that book told me. And I knew that I would stay clean. That was that little glimmer of hope, you know, and the faith that I had that if I just read my book, that I'd stay clean and do what it said. I remember a lot of times, and I still do this today, I'll think, well, I'll open my book in a certain place because I know that God's got a message there for me, you know, and I'll just do that, open to a certain place, and there, you know, there's usually a message there for me. I remember, you know, when I first got clean, you know, my concentration was real bad, and I'd read my book and I wouldn't know what it said, you know, but I knew that just going back and reading that book, you know, I knew that if I just opened that book and read it, it didn't matter if I didn't understand what it said. You know, I knew that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, you know, and, you know, they told me, You know, they told me the same thing about working the steps or die. You know, and told me to get involved, that service work will keep me clean. You know, I've tried to do that. I've tried to give away what's been given to me so freely. You know, I'm real grateful for this program. I'm real grateful for the people that was here before me and the positive role models that was here to teach me how to live. Love y'all.
Anyone else like to share before we close? Peter, are you giving me sign language?
I'm Chris, and I'm an addict. And I'll make it short. First time I saw that book, I was in treatment, and they gave us a bunch of books. And we had step studies on another book, and that was the one we had to do our homework on in treatment, was that other book. And I read that one, you know, and I did the best I could with it. And they never said anything about this other book, so they were making me read all these other books, but they weren't saying nothing about this book, you know. And so I figured, well, that's the one I want to read, you know. Because they ain't saying shit about this book. They're giving me all this homework on feelings and emotions, and but they ain't saying nothing about this book, you know. So I started reading it. And I'd been to other, you know, they'd taken us out to NA meetings. And I remember when I first opened that book, I started reading. I said, hey, I've heard this before, you know. And that's when it hit me that the readings that they were reading in that, in those meetings, you know, these damn things are chapters, you know. There's more to it than just that little bit they're reading in these meetings, you know. And that's when I started getting hope, because I was one of those ones that went to treatment not wanting to go. You know, I didn't have no problem, you know. Shit's illegal, you know. It was no problem, you know. But that book showed me a problem, you know. And I stayed around. I thought I could bullshit, you know, through the treatment center. You know, they'd see that I was all right. You know, they'd either see I was all right or send me to be crazy with the rest of us. And I kept reading that book, you know, like I said, and I saw some hope. And I was like, when I heard it said before, I thought somebody had been following me around, you know, because all this shit, you know, all the stuff that I thought was going through that nobody else had ever been through. And that, you know, somebody else has been through, and, you know, it just amazed me. It blew me away. And I said, you know, I was still real sick, and I was thinking, well, this is, you know, why they don't want me to read this, you know, because they don't want me to know that I'm not crazy, you know, that I'm just sick, you know, that they want me to be another kind of person and all this other stuff. And it gave me a lot of hope. And I'm just real glad to be here, and I'm real glad to see some of the people who wrote this book, you know. It's nice to know they're still around, you know, and it's nice to know that I didn't, you know, that I didn't get here before all the people that, you know, that I owe so much to, that I at least get to meet them. I love y'all.
My name's Pete, and I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. First time I saw the book, I was in a meeting. And my first meeting, and they told me I needed one of them. And the first thing I asked, of course, how much was it? And they told me $8, and I said, I don't have it. And somebody gave me one, and that was real neat. Today I've been able to give a few away myself, and that's how it works. You know, history's always been written by the winners, quote, and usually the winners destroyed what was written before. You know, we have an opportunity to go to the source. I've gotten a lot of phone calls in the past week. He said, she said, they said, you know. And I said, well, it sounds like rumors to me. Well, what are you going to do about it? And I said, well, what do you want me to do about it? You know, get a butterfly net and catch them. You know, I don't know. But I know that here we have an opportunity to go to the source. You know, and that's how history, you know, most histories are not able to be written by going to the source. You know, we have a source, and that's really neat. You know, that's what recovery is about. You know, sharing, experience, strength, and hope. You know, we have a rare opportunity to go to the source. You know, where it goes, what we do with it, we'll find out. You know, more will be revealed. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Little Eric, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Eric.
I'm grateful to be here. I just want to share my story about the basic text was when I was in treatment. And I read that line that said, "Those we have found from our group experience that those people who keep coming to meetings regularly stay clean." And I looked up at my counselor, and she said, "Okay, now define regular." And the only thing that I could think of was my grandmother. When she said she was regular, and that meant every day, you know. And I swear to God. So I told myself that, hey, if I would just go to these meetings on a regular basis, I could stay clean because it said so. And I really believed it. And the process that my mind went through was, you know, these people that had been to, you know, I was a newcomer, like, couple weeks clean, and these people that had been around for years and years and years and years found out of habit of going to these meetings over and over and over and over and over, and they noticed this trend that people who came regularly stayed clean, you know. And I grabbed onto that, and that one sentence gave me a lot of hope in the beginning, and that's my little story. Thanks.
I'm Tilly. I'm still an addict. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming up and sharing, and thank those that did not come up and share for sticking it out with us. I realize it's been a long meeting, but it's been worthwhile. They sure did come up tonight and give out our chips.
Key tags, right? I'm short, I'm an addict. And here at Madison, in a history convention, or committee, or whatever you want to call this place, we have a keychain system. And they're not markers of your progress of your recovery, but markers of your clean time. You know, these were my goals. I did say it right, didn't I? Okay. And these were my goals my first year. I had no other goals but these. And, we're getting it here, but you know, even if I don't want it to change, it changes, you know. And if you want to try a new way of life, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, or you went out and improved on your story, we offer a white keychain. You know, and for those, after you've stayed clean for 30 days and have earned a 30 or orange, you got a 30-day key tag. Every now and then they'll throw in a different one here. For those of you who've been clean 60 days, a 60-day key tag, and a red one. Oh, hold on. There are no 2 days the same in this program. Let me run through them right quick, and I promise I'll hurry, okay? For 6 months, we got a blue key tag. For 9 months, we got a yellow one. And then again, we got this so-called glow-in-the-dark. If it glows in the dark, you better come back. So, with that, anybody sick and tired of being sick and tired? Want to try it our way? Anybody out improving? Want to pick up a white? Anybody earn 30 days? No gimmies here. Anybody earn 60? 90 days? Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody earn 6 months? 9 months? Years of multiple we don't know about. Anybody want to reconsider and try it our way? Thank you.
We're going to have announcements. If you wish to pick up a birthday chip tomorrow night, please notify the registration area. Also, any other announcements, please leave them at the registration area in writing, please. And the restaurant opens at 7 a.m. in the morning until 9. Full breakfast buffet for only $3.95. That's not bad. And the restaurant also says that they will serve lunch until 2 o'clock. If we will, let's close with a circle with the Weave verse and the Serenity Prayers.
Yeah, that sounds warming in there.
It just needs to spread out a little bit.
Mickey, would you like to close for us, please?
Keep coming back. It works when you learn. It's young women.
It's on the cat.